ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A day after a service outage that had tens of thousands of AT&T customers staring at their smartphones wondering where service was, the carrier says it was not a cyber attack.
Whenever a service outage of any kind affects a lot of people, social media comes alive with theories about hackers and malicious attacks on our infrastructure. The FBI and other agencies immediately started looking for evidence of that on Thursday. Federal investigators said early on during the outage that it did not appear to be the work of cyber terrorists.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan. The White House is getting ready to announce more than 500 new sanctions against Russia, punishment for the ongoing war against Ukraine, and for the death of Russia's most outspoken critic of President Vladimir Putin, Alexei Navalny. Officials say they're the toughest sanctions since the war began. For the first time ever, there's a human presence near the South Pole of the moon, or at least something humans built. The lunar module, nicknamed Odie, landed there upright last night. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Several University of Wisconsin building projects are closer to moving forward after final legislative approval yesterday. The bill is now before the governor. The projects include a new engineering building at UW-Madison. It's part of the deal UW system leaders struck with Republican leaders in exchange for new limits on campus diversity efforts. People with PFAS-polluted wells will have to wait for help from the state. Governor Evers says he plans to veto a Republican bill that passed yesterday over the objections of Representative Jeffrey Merceau.
If you had contamination in your well, wouldn't you want to have that well, somebody to help you fix that? And it's not about, taking things away from the DNR.
Merceau says the bill protects innocent landowners from liability. Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle Lacrosse, I'm Jimmy Cuska. After holding steady most of the winter, drought conditions have begun to expand in southwestern Wisconsin. Severe drought is centered over an area roughly south of I-90 and north of the Wisconsin River, with most of Richland, Vernon, Sauk, and Crawford counties part of the 17% of the state in severe drought. Drought conditions exist in 40% of Wisconsin, while abnormally dry conditions spread from 68% last week to 86% this week across the state. The DNR says there's a moderate wildfire risk across most of western Wisconsin this weekend due to dry and windy conditions. Out-of-state hunting, fishing, and trapping license fees could go up if the state Senate agrees with a unanimous vote in the Assembly Thursday. The bill, which intends to help fill a $16 million hole in the DNR's fish and wildlife budget, would increase non-resident fees to $200 for deer hunting and add $5 to other hunting and fishing licenses, as well as $20 to combination licenses. The Senate previously approved some of the fee increases. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Gary Sanchez joins the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Former Yankee Gary Sanchez has arrived nearly 3 weeks after it was first reported he'd been signed by the Brewers. It turns out he injured his right wrist during off-season workouts, something detected during his physical. Sanchez spoke through an interpreter.
No, yeah, it was a process that was, more or less long, but had a little something in the hand. But here now, and with plenty of time, get to know the players, get to know the coaches, and happy to be here.
Sanchez says he should be ready to play catcher and DH in a couple of weeks. NBA, Bucks against the Timberwolves tonight in Minneapolis. No Chris Middleton, still out with an ankle injury. NFL, the Packers introduced their new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley. I asked Matt LaFleur what he wants to see from the defense after dismissing Joe Barry.
I want us to be fast and physical and attack the ball and be able to go out there and generate takeaways.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly cloudy and quite a bit cooler today. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, down to 16 tomorrow. Sunshine 43 on Sunday, back to 50. By Monday, we're talking highs close to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Kripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Kripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Talk about lacrosse in Wisconsin without the yelling and screaming. These are real conversations about things that affect you. This is Eagle 1490.
Welcome back to Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays. My co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, last hour we were talking about, you know, many things religion. And before we move on, Tom has been hanging on. Man, Tom, thank you for hanging on. Your thoughts?
Hey, Earl. Hey, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations. And I hope everybody wakes up and realizes that. Second, I am disgusted as a Christian that these people can even use the word Christian. Because Jesus himself would be so disgusted by what these people are about. These people need to read Matthew 15 of what Jesus Christ, the actual figure, said. They also need to look at where Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God. To me right there, I interpret that as a separation between church and state. Because of the fact that you're going to end up losing the church and you're going to end up losing religion if you mix it in with the state. That's why they separated the two, because they did not want to, for the detriment of both places. But please, I wish we could come up with a different name than Christian nationalists or Christian at all, because I am, as a Christian, as a person that looks at Jesus Christ as my role model, I am a person that tries to live my life by the way Jesus lived his life. And for these people to be able to use his name, I will say in vain, to me is probably one of the biggest sins that are out there. Jesus said, I am the shepherd, take care of my flock. These people manipulate and they do everything they can to hurt the sheep. And to me, that's the biggest sin. And to me, these are the anti-Christ people. And yeah, I think Jesus would actually agree. Just read Matthew 15. Thank you guys very much.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for the call, as always. You know, as we get ready to move on from this topic, Sandy, one of the reasons why I wanted us to have the discussion, and because we know it is playing a major role in this election cycle, more than it should, right? Whether who's the next president of the United States shouldn't be determined about who's more Christian than somebody else. Well, I'm a Christian nationalist. Well, what is that? I've never read anything about Christian nationalism. And so people, or the fact that you've got a man who, the last time I saw a Bible in his hand, he had it upside down and backwards. and that guy saying, I'm going to protect you. As if he somehow, who has no Christian belief whatsoever, but he's going to be the protector of all Christians.
Well, you know, it's a bit like, it's the, it's the Crusades. The left wants to tear down the crosses, and I'm Ivanhoe.
Yeah.
You know, the knight that's going to save you and save the cross. And it's craziness. And it's just a it's a conflagration of thoughts about what it is that's good for mankind. Religion on one side, government on the other. And never the twain shall meet in terms of being required. You know, religion should not establish our government, and government should not establish our religions, because our value systems, yes, our value systems are incorporated in both of these institutions. And importantly, the values are incorporated into our government. But there are plenty of value systems that are meritorious and deserve to be recognized and to be reflected in our government, okay? And we don't want a church that determines what it is in government. Like the caller said, we would have usury laws. We'd have blue laws again.
Right.
We'd have all kinds of restrictions associated with what the Bible says, much the way people fear the imposition of the law of Islam, okay? The fact that, for instance, in Saudi Arabia, one of the biggest problems they have is they operate under Islamic law,
right,
as a country. And it creates all kinds of complications, let's say.
All right, let's go to Tim from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Tim. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, I have a question. You know, these Christian nationalists, I just watched a video and I'd read online where this guy, Jack Posobiec or whatever, he's bragging about that they didn't end democracy in 2020, but they're going to continue to keep trying to do it. Why isn't the government investigating these people? You know, there's part of the Constitution, Section 18 or 2385, that says anybody who advocates the overthrow of the government can be fined and imprisoned. They're openly doing it. Why is nobody doing anything about it? That's my question.
Tim, thank you very much for the call, man. Sandy, you want to?
Well, you know, we have to be careful about imprisoning people for what they say. That's another one of our freedoms that's fundamental. And maybe what he's saying is that he wants to change our government in using the tools that the government provides us for changing it, right? So there are methods we have with constitutional amendments, things that we can do that are the result of our democratic process that could change the way the government operates.
Well, you don't want the government to be punitive, right?
No, I want the government to be what its founders intended it to be, which was a place of freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, separation of church and state, you know, the things that are fundamental, and they're all getting turned. This Constitution that preserves these rights is getting turned on its head and is being used as the battle cry for the installation of, for instance, Christian views, whatever that means.
And so you and I have been around long enough to see this slope, this slippery slope changing, right? We see it before our eyes. And it's moving faster and faster. It's getting more and more slippery, and people aren't saying anything about it.
Well, I know.
They're accepting it.
Yeah, I think it's because there's been this effort to construct a view that number one, we've got this term, the vision of what is a patriot, and a patriot can't say critical things about, for instance, the country in certain ways. Maybe in other ways they can. And what Donald Trump said about defending the Christianity against the left is again this notion of creating a rubric for attacking those who disagree with you as being, for instance, immoral.
Right.
Okay, immoral, unchristian, and it's false.
So let's move on, Sandy. And I know you are a guy who defends freedoms in the country. It's, you know, it's clearly important to you that people should have freedoms. And less government is kind of the kind of guy that you are. But in Florida, lawmakers have passed a ban on social media for kids under 16. Whether parents are engaged or involved or not. They don't even want parents. Parents can't say it's okay. They've created this ban in their state that may not stand, because I'm sure something like this will go to the Supreme Court. But your thoughts on the fact that in states, legislators have somehow taken on this kind of, lawmaking that they really, haven't thought through.
Well, it's, talk about a slippery slope. I mean, I think, we talk about a slippery slope. I think what's happening is more like an avalanche, where the snow starts coming down the side of the mountain slowly. And as it builds up a mass, it gets to the point where it's actually an avalanche. And I think this kind of law and the decision in Alabama is more reflective of the fact that that snow rolling down the mountainside is turning into something much more like a dangerous avalanche. Because shutting down social media entirely to everyone 16 and under, first of all, how in the world is that going to be enforced, number one? And number two, really, I mean, what other kinds of media are we going to shut down, and for what audience, and with what reasoning? Because you're really throwing the baby out with the bathwater by shutting down all social media. I mean, social media is invidious and has and can be a problem, and young people can become overly addicted to it. But there is within social media a bunch of goods, right? I mean, plenty of adults engage in social media without the downsides that are apparently associated with the notion of young people doing it. Now, do parents need to operate aggressively and effectively with their children associated with their use of social media? Of course, just like we need to take care of our children 24 hours a day as they grow up, making sure that the boundaries are set for them, that structure is created for them, and that rules are enforced. But it's really up to families and parents. It's not up to the state legislature to decide what it is that we ought to be able to see, hear, listen to, think about.
So a bill to create one of the nation's most restrictive bans on minors' use of social media is heading to Republican Florida Ron DeSantis, who has expressed concerns about the legislation to keep children under age 16 off popular platforms regardless of parental approval. The House bill passed 108-7 Thursday, just hours after the Senate approved it, 23-14. The Senate made changes to the original House bill, which Republican Speaker Paul Renner said he hopes will address DeSantis' question about privacy. Now, I would agree, and there's some things that are on sites that children should not be exposed to. No question whatsoever. And the cat's kind of already, or the horse is kind of already out of the barn. I don't know how you put it back in the barn, Sandy. If you can legislate putting it back in the barn after it's been out, and whatever damage is caused, has already caused that damage. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts? It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on 540 AM WAUK.
Listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Than the vainest knife. Moody River, your muddy waters